How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. The list goes on and on. This is the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the entire world. And yes, we're here Monday through Friday as well, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Today, 2 hours leading into the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. My goodness, have we got a packed show today. We'll be previewing the entire Money in the Bank card. Show goes on the air immediately after this show goes off the air. And in addition to that, we've got all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, including some talk about last night's UFC with a new unified UFC heavyweight champion. And then in the second hour, we're going to be joined for a while by Jim Ross. Good old JR is going to be on the show here today. We'll be talking Money in the Bank. We can talk about the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And we'll be talking about my appearance on his podcast, which is coming up here later on this week. I'm going to be on talking about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view after the show ends with Jim Ross. That'll be airing on his show, which you can check out on Podcast One. We'll be talking more about that later on here in the program today. Obviously, so much news to get into. There is a Money in the Bank card. We will run down all the matches here, including the main event. A couple of main events, actually. They're doing the second Kevin Owens versus John Cena match. They're calling it the most anticipated rematch of all time. But I'm not sure you can really have a most anticipated rematch of all time with a two-month or a two-week build. Crying out loud, I wish it was a two-month build. 2 weeks. Talk about that match, who we expect is going to win. Plus, the Money in the Bank is an interesting show because there's always 9 million ways to go. Who's going to win Money in the Bank? There are a number of different options. Who is going to win the main event championship match? Two options there. And then, will the winner cash in on somebody? We're going to give our predictions and more when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Lots of stuff to talk about today. The WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view is kicking off here in 2 hours. Obviously, we can talk more about the passing of Dusty Rhodes. UFC 188 last night, Cain Velasquez losing to Fabricio Werdum. Maybe the first time in his life he really got tired. They asked him about the altitude in Mexico. He was only there for 2 weeks getting ready for this fight in Mexico City. And Velasquez said, and I quote, "Maybe that wasn't enough." You don't say.
Possibly not.
That was not enough. But we got to talk about that. Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Jim Ross is going to be joining us in the second hour. We'll take phone calls after a while. Going to be a very busy day here today, Mike. And of course, later on in the program, actually later on in the day, we'll have two more shows for subscribers. Post-show with Vinny and a post-show with Dave. So get ready for that. Let's not waste any time here, Mike. This Money in the Bank show, got a lot of big matches. We got a lot of different ways you can go. The first big question is who wins Money in the Bank? We got Ziggler, Neville, Roman Reigns, Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston, Sheamus, and Kane. And the only people I can see as possibilities here are Roman Reigns, obviously, Randy Orton because he's Randy Orton, and Sheamus. Now, why do I think Sheamus even has a chance? Because Sheamus was supposed to win the Intercontinental title, but they ended up putting it on Ryback. It was a last-minute change. This was at the last show. So maybe they said, listen, buddy, we're not going to give you that Intercontinental title, but you're going to get the Money in the Bank briefcase. So that's why I think that's at least a possibility. But I think, obviously, the most likely scenario is Roman Reigns.
Okay, I got a better scenario for you. If it's not Roman Reigns who comes out of this with it, how long before it takes Roman Reigns to win it from that person on a Raw? Because I have a feeling that's the only way that, somebody other than Roman Reigns wins this thing. I think it comes to a matter of when does Roman Reigns cash it in and who does he cash it in against? And with what persona will he have cashed it in with? Will he be good guy Roman Reigns or will he be bad guy Roman Reigns? I mean, honestly, maybe I'm too forward thinking in this, but the way this thing has been built up, and I know part of its legs were cut out a little bit because of Elimination Chamber, Elimination Chamber, and when they added those matches and they added that show, it obviously took away from this a little bit and the build towards it, but It just, Dolph Ziggler doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Again, unless you're going to have him lose it instantly. Neville, no offense to Neville, doesn't seem to be in the mix. Kofi Kingston, same way. As amusing as it is to hear promos that they would defend the title, Freebird style, with the three of them defending a singles title, not going to happen. Kane, unfortunately, for our friend, UFC enhancement talent, Filthy Tom Lawler, he is not going to win as well, which leaves the guys that you talked about. And Randy Orton, obviously, is a threat because he's Randy Orton. And I think fans would look at him being in the match, as you said, with just, you know, because he's Randy Orton, he has got a chance to win. Sheamus has been rebuilt as a badass, and I hope they continue to do so with him. But I just, looking at it, if he were to win, it would make sense. I mean, it would, in that you have a long time before next year's WrestleMania. You got a long time before you really need to ascend Roman Reigns to something, and you could have somebody else win with maybe Reigns and Orton knocking each other off, and it's just another continuation into the possibility of turning Roman Reigns heel because he's failing as a good guy babyface or something like that.
Except he's not.
Well, there you go. But
this
that's
is the most popular he's been since they've tried to push him as a main eventer.
But you know what? It's still, and we talked about this, even though that's the case, that still doesn't mean that he's at that pinnacle point where you now go ahead and flip him heel. I just don't think you do that yet. They may very well. Again, this, a lot of it has to do with, to me, trying to plan this out. If they're going to do, as we had heard for a long time, Rollins and Triple H at SummerSlam, that means the whole balance is going to be shifting. So around that time, the only thing that would make sense is Roman Reigns to align with them. But again, it's a lot of bloviation on something very simple, which is Roman Reigns is going to win the Money in the Bank tonight.
That was a lot of bloviation. I don't even know what bloviation is, but that was a lot of it right there.
I don't know if I'm using that correctly, but then again, I wouldn't be bloviating if I didn't.
So I think that the two obvious scenario, I had two scenarios, both of which involved Roman Reigns cashing in. One was that he cashes in on his best buddy, Dean Ambrose, and he screws him, and he immediately turns heel after Dean Ambrose beats Seth Rollins for real this time. The second possibility was he cashes in on Seth after Seth retains the title and wins. Now, the only problem with that is I just see that as too obvious. That's what everybody expects to happen. Roman Reigns wins, he cashes in on Seth Rollins. The screwing his best buddy works as well. It just, I think that if they put the belt on Roman and he turns heel, then I think Seth is going babyface. I think that Seth has been pushed, not really as a babyface, but I mean he's working kind of as a babyface, if that makes sense. He's really wanted to prove that he can be a great champion by himself. I mean, it would make total sense if you had a situation where Seth goes in there tonight. He says, "I'm sick of everybody telling me I need help. I've told you this repeatedly. I don't want help. Leave me alone." And he goes in there and he beats Dean Ambrose clean in the middle, clean as a sheet. I know some people don't like that idea because they like Dean Ambrose, but I think it's pretty clear where they see Dean Ambrose, so I can see them doing this. So Seth gets his big clean win. He proves that he's a real champion, and then you could have Roman Reigns cash in on him, and you set up a rematch for the July pay-per-view. And obviously, if Roman cashes in on Seth, he's still a babyface. So for a full month, you build up the July show, and then at that point, you do a double turn. The Authority helps Roman Reigns win. Seth Rollins becomes a babyface, and that sets up Seth Rollins versus Triple H at the SummerSlam show. So I've said this so many times that I expect none of this to happen tonight. I mean, the more I think about it and the way they do things, the more I think that Seth is just going to beat Dean. Roman will win and not cash in. And I don't know where you go with the guy, but I think that's the most likely scenario right there, but I guess we'll see.
You know, we talked about Rollins and Triple H at SummerSlam. You know, I remember thinking before that just kept getting larger and larger and larger that Seth Rollins and whether he had the title or not at that point, and Brock Lesnar would make sense for SummerSlam. And I know we're skipping right over Battleground, but what do you then do if it is going to be Triple H and Rollins? What do you do then with Brock Lesnar and or Roman Reigns? Because to me,
they fight each other.
Why at SummerSlam and not wait? I mean, to me, why would you not build to that? And I guess it makes an impact right off the bat. But then what are you going to do for WrestleMania? I mean, shouldn't those two be...
Brock and... Well, they say Brock's not wrestling Steve Austin. But I don't know. I don't know if you can wait a full year to do Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. I think that... And listen, I know that everybody says they're doing Triple H and The Rock. But if Brock Lesnar and Steve Austin really is not going to take place, then I don't care what Triple H thinks or anybody else. Brock Lesnar versus The Rock is way the hell bigger than The Rock versus Triple H. So I think that, I don't know. And listen, I don't know if this is real or not, but I've been getting tweets all day long from people who have sent a picture that they claim is real of a SummerSlam poster with Brock and Roman Reigns as the two top faces on it, which would suggest a Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar match. I mean, we've both been told that Hunter and Rollins was the match for SummerSlam. And it didn't seem to make any sense, but if you go with my scenario, Hunter faces Rollins and Brock faces Roman Reigns. That's your big SummerSlam double main event. And then whatever you do for WrestleMania, I just don't feel like Brock versus Roman Reigns is a big enough match for the biggest WrestleMania of all time. But we can talk more about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Elber is here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Not taking phone calls yet, so whoever that is calling on the East of the Rockies line, you've just been X'd out. We'll start taking calls in the next segment. Very quickly, the phone numbers are on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. If you are east of the Rocky Mountains, 425-482-1686. If you are west, it is 425-488-0525. Toll free, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. In the next segment, we'll start taking phone calls. We're going to be adding two more lines here in the next week or so. So I'll put those on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. So put those in your phone. The old 855 number is history. And somebody here on Twitter says, serious question, do you think there will be a dusty finish tonight with any of the matches at Money in the Bank? For the love of all that is holy, please no! Here's the thing with the dusty finish, which every time we talk about the dusty finish, it gets brought up. The dusty finish is not a bad finish. If used very, very sparingly at the right time, it is effective at building up rematches. The problem with the dusty finish was the dusty finish just got used over and over and over and over and over again. And if you do anything over and over and over and over and over again, it stops working. Now, it would be cool to do it tonight if they hadn't done it in a long time, but they did it not even last month, 2 weeks ago. Finish of the Seth Rollins-Dean Ambrose match 2 weeks ago was a real legit dusty finish. So, God, there's no way they should do it tonight. It would be a terrible, terrible idea. This is a bad tribute. If you want a tribute, tomorrow night after Raw, Celebrating the Dream will be airing on the WWE Network, 11:06 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out immediately after Raw on the WWE Network. I know they've interviewed a number of guys, including, I believe, Ric Flair. So that will be tomorrow night after Raw, so make sure you check that out. And going back to Money in the Bank, the pre-show, R-Truth and King Barrett. R-Truth, the king of the pre-show, as is Wade Barrett, actually. Who's winning? What a battle.
I like both guys, and I think at this point it's been proven R-Truth just needs to be funny. No offense to Ron Killings, but R-Truth could lose every match, and I bet you at this point people will still react to him no matter what. King Barrett, if he keeps losing, people won't react to him at all, and he'll be gone, as opposed to R-Truth, who will continue to be entertaining on the WWE roster. King Barrett should get the win here.
John Cena and Kevin Owens in the most anticipated rematch in the history of wrestling with a two-week build. Who's going to win this match? Does John Cena get his win back over Kevin Owens?
You know, it's hard to believe that he won't, because that's what they do. so many scenarios here because the title's not on the line. You could have DQs. I mean, does Cena get his win back? Does Owens get another clean win? I can't see them giving Owens another clean win, but I can see them giving him another win. So he's got two wins against John Cena, and he wants his U.S. title shot now because he keeps beating John Cena, so why not? And I could also even see him winning that title at Battleground, maybe losing to Finn Balor in or for the NXT title in Japan earlier on next month. And then going on to defeat John Cena. I could absolutely see that happen. And then you have a rematch at SummerSlam or something like that. And by the way, that way you have a natural thing for Finn Balor to do when he comes back or when he comes on to the main roster with Kevin Owens. So I don't know. You know, they could go a lot of different ways, but I'll say Owens gets the win by DQ or something like that, which is going to lead to the third match that Cena probably wins to hold on to the U.S. title, but I hope it would go the other way.
Well, I do know that for upcoming house shows, it is John Cena versus Kevin Owens, and they're doing stip matches. Like, it's no DQ or false count anywhere or whatever the deal is. And so my guess would be that no finish tonight. I mean, if you look at the card and you've got a crazy Money in the Bank match, you've got a world title match, which is a ladder match, by the way. We didn't even mention that. Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. It's a ladder match for the WWE title with perhaps a cash-in at the end of the show. I mean, if you've got all that going on, you don't need a finish to John Cena versus Kevin Owens. You gave everybody a clean-as-a-sheet finish last month. Do some sort of craziness here where the match gets thrown out. And at the next show, you turn it into some sort of stipulation match. False count anywhere, Texas death match, whatever you want to do. Actually, don't do Texas death match, because then all people will be thinking about is Steve Austin versus Brock Lesnar, which they want you to forget about. So do some sort of stipulation match at the next show, and don't give people a finish tonight. I just can't imagine John Cena beating him tonight. I think it would be the worst possible scenario, and I don't think it will happen. All that dinging you hear in the background, by the way, is Mike's phone, and I'll bet you anything it's Josh Nason. Yes.
I see, technology is just amazing, you know, to me, because I have the iPad here, and the volume's turned all the way down. I have it on off, yet texts from Josh Nason still power through and somehow make noise.
That's Josh for you. What he wants everybody to do is go to the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And you will see a post there saying, "We want to know your favorite Dusty Rhodes matches." And if you click on that right there, you can get information about how to email him. He says, "I want to hear from you. Your favorite Dusty match is either available on the network or on YouTube/Daily Motion. Email him at josh@WrestlingObserver.com and put favorite Dusty match in the headline. And it says, give me who's in the match, where it was, etc. If you want to include your name, great. If not, just say name withheld." And he's going to be putting together a list to post on Monday. So that is up there on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Email josh@WrestlingObserver.com. Favorite Dusty match in the headline. And let him know what your favorite match is and where you can check that out. You know, it is sad and somewhat frustrating that when I was going through to get promos for this radio show, and when people are going through and looking for Dusty Rhodes matches, everybody's going to YouTube. They should just be going to the WWE Network. But unfortunately, in a self-fulfilling prophecy, they don't put up any old stuff, and then they alert us that nobody's watching the old stuff that they're not putting up or putting up out of order. I've mentioned since day one, the WWE Network should be my tape library that I can keep with me forever as long as I still pay my $9.99. Everything I could ever want from WWE should be up there. Instead, with the exception of Nitro, most of the stuff that I want to see, I have to get off YouTube, which is infuriating to me. But I guess it doesn't really matter because I'm paying for it and YouTube is free, so it doesn't bother me. But it should bother them that all their best stuff is up there when they could just have it available for people on their network.
Yeah, I remember being blown away when I heard that was their philosophy was, we're going to have that old stuff up on YouTube. We're not going to go after it hard. And, you know, if people watch stuff on there, then they're definitely going to want to subscribe for the network. And maybe in a lot of cases, that's true. But being older and being one of those fans that came up into the 80s and knowing people like Carl Stern, that when he discovered that a lot of the stuff he wanted to watch isn't on the WWE Network and he quit. You know, the fact that it's up on YouTube is great for me because they used licensed music back in the day that you can't have on the network now. And the feel that mattered, you know, so a lot of those aesthetics, you know, from back in the day actually mattered. When theme music hit, people would lose their minds. You know, Jimmy Valiant coming out to generic music is still very entertaining when he skips out and kisses Tony Schiavone and everything. But, you know, the boy from New York City, as soon as that started, you know, you knew Jimmy Valiant was coming out and that stuff like that mattered then. So I'm happy it's in its uncut form up on YouTube and its unbastardized form without the WWE's touch of it. With that said, if I'm a stockholder of WWE or somebody who works there, I'd be wanting to hoard all of that stuff because if you're trying to get, you know, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million subscribers as if, you know, that's what they're going to get one day, how do you do that without completely cornering the market on all of the footage that you own?
I just remember my buddy Dave Gray, hopefully he's listening, huge fan of Dusty. He was really sad when he heard that Dusty passed away. And he wanted to see some Dusty matches, so he went up on YouTube. He doesn't have the WWE Network, because all the stuff that he wants to watch is on YouTube, so he doesn't bother getting it. And that's another $9.99 out the window, because he's going to get his stuff off YouTube.
Brian, have you seen the turn, the big turn of 1980, the Ole Anderson and the Assassins and Gene Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Turning... It's amazing. WWE has taken stuff off of YouTube before, I think especially when it comes to Georgia, and put it out there and digitize it. That actually on YouTube, it looks great as it is already. So all you have to do is take that, and I know it's not, you know, it's expensive to digitize, but look at how great that is. I mean, how absolutely awesome that is for any era, and why they choose not to do that with any of that stuff, and they're just sitting on all of that footage just completely blows my mind.
Well, hey, I got some good news, at least, if you're a shareholder. I just got a tweet here a little bit earlier on today from The Brain, not Bobby The Brain, but he notes they're stepping up, and he's got a screenshot here of he attempted to go and get another free month, and he was told, sorry, you are not eligible for this promotion as you already had a free trial. Click below to purchase a WWE Network subscription. So apparently they're at least beginning to try to prevent people from just getting the free month, month after month after month. We're going to open up the phone lines when we come back. The phone number's on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Ryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Opening up the phone lines, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. If you're west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. Ryan is here on the line from Cumberland. Ryan, we were just talking about you. What's up?
I have a very important Jim Ross question for you. You might know the answer to.
Well, if we don't know the answer, Jim Ross will be on the show here soon.
Well, my question is, when I was 14 years old, I had the opportunity to interview Jim Ross.
And I paid Stop right there. How did you get the opportunity to interview Jim Ross when you were 14?
I paid $7.50, and he sent me a personalized cassette tape. I don't know if he remembers this, but he was, I guess, broke at the time, so I guess he was desperate for money.
Jim Ross was broke at the time?
Well, he wasn't working for WCW or WWF. And my question is, ask him why he left WWF, and he said he would never wear a cowboy hat while he was announcing, but obviously that became his gimmick, so I wanted to know why he changed his mind on this, because he seemed pretty serious during the interview that he would never do this.
Interesting. Interesting. All right.
I have this documented on tape, so if there's any question, like with Luke Hawk, and there was a big controversy, but I can back this up because I still have access to this tape and I can actually play it sometime, but the audio quality might not be too good on the air.
Is there any chance you can convert it to an MP3 at 96 kilobits per second?
I don't think so, but someday maybe I can play it on the air if you're not too strict on how the sound quality is.
Please, I want to thank you very much for the call, Ryan, but next time you call, I want you to try to play that cassette tape over the telephone here, and we'll listen to it.
I can't play the whole tape because it's 15 minutes long, but maybe I can just play a little bit of it.
Okay. All right, well, we'll work on that, Ryan. I want to thank you very much for the call. Let's go to the east of the Rockies line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Danny in Milwaukee.
Yes, Danny.
What's up? So, real quick, I don't know why nobody from the site has brought this theory to the forefront, but I'm pretty sure I know exactly what's going to happen with Money in the Bank and the cash in and all the above.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right, let's hear it.
So check it out. Okay, with the whole thing at WrestleMania with Seth and Brock and Roman Reigns, blah, 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 the same thing is going to happen. Roman's going to win the Money in the Bank tonight. At SummerSlam, it's going to be Seth versus Brock. Roman's going to come out at the end of the match, do the same thing Seth did to him, and that'll be how they justify Roman Reigns still being a babyface, but cashing in the briefcase. They'll say, oh, it was the same thing Seth did to him. It's payback. It's redemption.
So exactly Brock and Seth will have a long match, and at the very end, Roman will run down, cash in, and will he curb stomp anybody or no?
I don't know about the curb stomp. That move has been banned.
That's
true.
Maybe
he'll do the Naomi ass bump or whatever it's called. I could see that happening before the curb stomp. But sorry about that. Booty bump. How about that?
Yes.
Okay.
No, so I was saying please. Like that would be a great finish if Roman Reigns did the rear view.
Yes. Well, that's all I got, brother.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. That was worth his call there. Let's go to Joel, who I believe is in Sedona, Arizona. Joel, what's going on?
What's going on? Hey, I just want to know, when is the Big Show finally going to get his title shot?
When is he finally going to get his title shot?
Yes.
Well, back in the olden days, if you became the IC champion, you technically were the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship. So maybe he defeats the Ryback tonight and goes on and possibly challenges for the title. I guess in some alternate universe that could happen.
Boy, that was just a joke now. My real question is, when is Seth Rollins going to turn from being a heel?
Well, I was predicting within the next month, but I don't know if that's the direction they're going.
Well, I just think he's a superstar, and I think he's got the moves in the ring. He's got the wrestling moves. He's got the personality on the mic. I just think he has to kind of change from being a heel.
Well, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. I have been arguing now for a couple of weeks that Seth is on his way to a babyface turn. He is a great heel, don't get me wrong. He's a great heel, he's got a great heel cackle, but he is a natural babyface. He's tall, fairly good-looking guy, he does all sorts of flips and all sorts of impressive aerial maneuvers. He could, like Tyler Black, can't be a babyface. He'd be a great babyface. And if you switch out him and Roman Reigns, if they just do that big double turn that I was suggesting, then boom, there you go. So I don't know if it's going to happen tonight. I don't even know if it's going to happen. I just was getting that impression because I was coming up with scenarios in my head, and I was watching Seth over the last month where all he wants to do is prove he's a fighting champion. All he wants to do is prove he can do it by himself. He was on Raw with a 1-on-4 disadvantage. He demanded a handicap match, and then there were two other guys that were trying to beat him. It was 4-on-1 with him at the disadvantage. So I just look at how they're doing TV, and I think they're setting up for a Seth babyface turn, but I could be completely out of my mind. It would not be the first time, as Mike is well aware. Like last night when I buried Hockey.
I don't think he's hot enough to turn. I really don't, and I know what you're saying, and it makes complete sense with what you're saying, but I just, to me, Why? I don't know. It's just not right now. Doesn't seem to be the time. He's a great slimy heel. I don't think he is on that. To me, with what he did and the turning on Roman Reigns, and you know, people still chant "You sold out, Adam," and the whole you know, "No, I bought in." To me, if you're going to do this, he needs to now really go on some sort of redemption story to try to get back in the fans' good graces. Because I don't think there's anything they can do that you just snap your fingers. And all of a sudden, Reigns is a heel, or Rollins is, I guess, really more so is the baby face. It just, I don't know. And to me, you know, Reigns is going to have more impact if going, you know, he can beat Rollins for the title, but him going heel and going dirty, if that's the direction you're going to go, to me, you do that with Ambrose, and you're going to get a better reaction, I think, than you would do with him beating up the Weasley champion. I think you need to tease more tension between Rollins and the Authority and build that up to more of a crescendo first before you go ahead and make that move.
So we're getting a lot of people here on Twitter noting that while that guy got locked out, this guy says, "I had to make a new account, but I did get the free month with the same billing and PayPal address." This person says, "Different card, I still got the free trial." This person says, "Been a subscriber since day one, had to update my card info, and they gave me June for free." So apparently they're not clamping down all that hard. And Isaac here says, "Kofi wins Money in the Bank, cashes in on Dean Ambrose. Lesnar destroys him for the belt in Japan, which he says is better than any scenario involving Reigns winning." I don't think they want the belt back on Brock. And I do not see Kofi Kingston as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion from now until July 4th. I guess stranger things have happened. Let's go to the West of the Rockies line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Dave.
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, I had a real question. I know you guys probably don't like those. But why
all of our questions are real questions. What does that mean? You're a real question.
Well, we'll wait and see. Why did the WWE try to put out that fake Fragile X story?
Not you again. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Sean from New Jersey.
Yes, Sean.
Just wanted to give a heads up. I am convinced that Kofi is going to win the Money in the Bank tonight.
So is this guy on Twitter here.
Yeah, maybe I missed it on the radio, but I'm convinced that he gets it, and then they work out something where Kofi winds up getting the case to Brock at the Sumo Hall show, because it gives a major step to Brock, and sorry, you know, someone with Brock's presence would it could give an interesting step to that network show. But I mean, I just don't get why Kane is on that card tonight. Like, you put a guy like Cesaro there, or just someone else that, you know. Even if they're not going to win, just someone who does something interesting.
You know, I want to thank you very much for the call. This Kofi Kingston scenario here that people have been bringing up. Brock is going to Japan to work on that show because he wants to go to the Japan. I forget who it was he wants to meet up with. Do you remember, Mike?
Mr. Saito.
That's right, Mr. Saito. He wants to go and visit Mr. Saito. And doing this show gives him the opportunity to do so. That's why Brock is on this show. Now, it is weird, I'm not going to lie, it is weird that the opponent for Brock Lesnar, of all people, is Kofi Kingston. I just cannot, for the life of me, believe that they are going to have Kofi Kingston win Money in the Bank and cash in and win the championship. It just doesn't make sense to me, especially for a network-exclusive show. I mean, if Brock is going to fight for the title again, it should be at SummerSlam. I don't know. I am very skeptical. It is interesting. It is a good conspiracy theory, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
It's such a Vince Russo thing to do. Because people don't see it coming, you know? To me, Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar is because Kofi Kingston will be thrown very high into the air before he takes an F5. And then Brock can do the same to Xavier Woods, and then Big E can get in the ring and everybody oohs and ahs, and they slam into each other, and ultimately Brock throws him around too. I mean, I could see him giving the F5 to Kofi and Xavier at the same time. I mean, that to me is the scenario of why Brock Lesnar's there doing that. You know, I think anything that's got to do with Kofi, again, it could be really entertaining, but it's not it's still supposed to be the world title, so I don't want that much that type of entertaining that the New Day is bringing me, you know, as far as, again, all three of them, you know, wanting to defend the title or whatever it is that you do with it. To me, that is insane.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas.
Arkansas? That's not west of the Rockies.
No, it's not.
John, he's out of here. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Jason.
Yes, Jason.
Yeah, I was wondering, why are you guys afraid to talk about...
This guy's an idiot.
Yeah,
he's just
much.
Not giving up. I shouldn't have hung up on John. John, I apologize, but you called the wrong number.
Is he west of the Ozarks? I mean, where are the Ozarks?
It might be,
that's Arkansas, right?
Yeah. Maybe we should provide a map on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com.
Maybe you meant the Bar Rockies up the street. So maybe technically he's east of that or something. West,
it could
whatever
be.
It is.
It is possible. All right, we're going to be taking calls in the second hour. I'm shutting down the phone lines for now because we only have a couple of minutes and we have a short segment here. A couple of other matches for the show here. Nikki Bella versus Paige for the Divas Championship. Nikki Bella is the champion, and Total Divas is about to kick off. And so that would be an argument for her to be the champion because they got to do a lot of promotion for that show. However, Tough Enough is about to kick off, and Tough Enough, Paige is all over that show. Although, Paige also all over Total Divas. So I guess if you add the shows together, Paige would have the advantage. I just don't know if they want to put the belt on Paige. I'm still upset that they didn't put the belt on Naomi, but we've got to get this belt off Nikki Bella. She's faced everybody 10 times. It doesn't really matter, I guess, but I'm over it.
Yeah, I am too, but they do that thing. It's like when Brock Lesnar was the youngest champion, and then all of a sudden it was Randy Orton. And anytime you have a record in your WWE and it's with somebody who's on the outs, they want to break it. So I can see Nikki Bella holding on to it just for that reason.
We're going to head to a break, everybody. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Ryan Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. About to head to our hourly break, but before we do so, very interesting tweet here. Actually, it was an email somebody sent me. Who said Kofi had to win the title? What if Brock versus Kofi is just for the briefcase? And then with his limited schedule, Brock is the Money in the Bank holder. You never know when he's going to show up and cash in. Problem is, why would Kofi Kingston put his briefcase on the line against Brock Lesnar? He's crazy enough taking the match.
Maybe he gets confident with an open challenge and all three of them there, and then outstruts Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Plus, it gives Paul Heyman something to hold on to while Brock stands there and looks mean during promos. I guess you could go out and maybe make that jump. I wouldn't, but you could.
All I know is that to me, Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston is the match of the century. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see what they do in this match. This giant, crazy, angry, hungry monster against poor little Kofi Kingston. It's going to be just a massacre live on the WWE Network. Is your son getting ready for the pay-per-view? Is that what's going on over there?
Oh, yeah. He's getting loud and rowdy, and now that school is out, he gets to stay up a little bit later. So, it's going to be one of those nights.
Like I say, he gets to stay up later when it's 3:58 here on the West Coast.
Well, see, we're on the East Coast.
That's only 6:58.
Well, it's, you know, I'm saying for later on he gets to stay up, so.
All right. Stand by, everybody. We'll be back after the top of the hour break with more Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone. The American Forces Network. Cable Radio Network. iHeartRadio. iTunes. TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Just fired up the WWE Network. We're getting ready for the WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which is kicking off in 1 hour. And right now they're interviewing Neville, who has just shown up at the building. He obviously is in the Money in the Bank ladder match. We're going to be talking about that show. We'll be taking your phone calls in the next segment. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. As well as west of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. All numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And then, in about 15 minutes, good old JR, Jim Ross, is going to be appearing on the show here today. We'll talk about Dusty Rhodes, Money in the Bank, his podcast, and more. Should be a fun time. That's Jim Ross coming up here in about 15 minutes. And as we get going on the Money in the Bank pre-show, the pre-show match, R-Truth versus King Barrett, I guess we'll be calling the match here on the air as we go live into the pay-per-view, which kicks off at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Later on tonight, four subscribers, myself and Vinny, with a post-show only for subscribers, as well as Dave and I with a Wrestling Observer Radio post-show. All the news, a review, as well as questions, which you can send to mailbag at WrestlingObserver.com. So we got a ton of stuff coming up here today on the program, and we're going to kick it off again after the break. I've been told to make sure to mention, check out the WWE Network to see Renee Young's top. Apparently it's amazing.
It's nice.
Back in just a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Phone lines are open, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. West of the Rockies, 425-488-0525. East of the Rockies, 425-482-1686. All numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Also, some interesting tweets here. Believe it or not, Ryan in Cumberland, with his greatest idea ever, essentially, he's suggesting that the gimmick will be that Kofi is going to put the briefcase on the line against Brock Lesnar on July 4th in Japan. But to even the odds, if Lesnar loses, he must join the New Day. That's actually a great idea. If Lesnar were not so valuable, like if you did some sort of finish where he like lost on a DQ and then he was forced to join the New Day and he came out and he was clapping and doing the dance. And then as soon as he got in the ring, he obliterated everybody, put all three of them on his shoulders and did a triple F5. That would be awesome.
There's a little Adidas tracksuit on and everything.
Yeah.
I guess so. It's, for some reason, I just instantly thought of Kevin Owens as Kevin Steen. That picture of him arm in arm with the Young Bucks, dressed up as a Young Buck.
Lucha Undead Podcast here says, if the big dog wins the briefcase, does he become Mr. Money in the Bark?
That's pretty bad.
Where's my... I'm always late on my sound effects. I haven't figured it out here yet. There we go.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the big Steve Austin belly laugh.
I could do that one. I've got that one always loaded up and ready to go. As well as this one. Maybe that's a little bit better.
You need to get the toilet flush going on when you dump callers.
And I'm doing a lot of that today. Kofi, let's see, can win Money in the Bank. New Day goads him into facing Brock for the briefcase. Overconfident 3-on-1, Brock destroys them. And Michael here says, what would you think of Cena going over Owens tonight due to Finn Balor debuting and screwing Owens and promoting the July 4th special? Don't like it. Because I think that, I'm pretty sure that Kevin Owens is losing to Balor on the 4th. And so don't beat him before that. He should be on a reign of terror before Finn Balor gets the title. So I would not do that tonight. There will be a time and a place to beat Owens. And in fact, it's July 4th. It's not tonight. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Who is this? East of the Rockies, sorry. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Ed in San Antonio.
Yes, Ed.
Okay. I don't think Kofi's going to win, but I'm going to tell you why Kofi should win. And it's something that no one else has said.
Why he should Kofi, win?
Why he should win.
Okay.
If he wins, then all the New Day are the Money in the Bank. So what happens is he wins, and on Monday, all three members come out with a different briefcase. And throughout the year, they tease, like, they're going to cash it in, but they kind of argue or they try to decide who's going to cash it. And when they do that, the guy recovers so they don't cash it in after all, and it leads to a big show, maybe SummerSlam, maybe Rumble, maybe Mania, where you have the main event, the championship match going on, and it looks like Xavier Woods is going to cash it, and he goes to cash it, and then he loses. And then Big E cashes his briefcase, and then he loses. And then Kofi either cashes his and wins, or they all three lose on the same show. But they should have the, they should have three briefcases throughout the next few months.
Well, I like it, except that I don't think they all would get the chance. It would be that they would all have the opportunity to cash in. And
no,
so
they said they were all Money in the Bank winners.
Well, that's
so
what they
would,
said.
They would all get a briefcase.
That's what they said, but technically only one of them is allowed to cash it in. So they could do the deal where they each get in an argument about who's going to cash it in. And you could even... Or they don't get an argument, they all appear to be on the same page, and then the day comes when Kofi tries to cash in, and Big E prevents it. And they prevent themselves from cashing in, or they screw each other, and then the New Day breaks up and you go off wherever you're going.
Yeah, and like I mentioned before, they do need Cameron to add Cameron to the group. That's all they need, and it'll go from being... Right now, they're the most over with me, but if they got Cameron, it would shoot them over the top.
Actually, Cameron would be pretty good in the New Day. I want to thank you very much for the call, Ed. Man, all of the Ed and Ryan, everybody having decent ideas today. It's crazy. Jim in Virginia, you are on the air. What's going on? Hello, Jim.
I'm glad there's a delay with Jim coming on the line here, because is everyone just trying to kill the stipulation deader than it already is?
What do you mean?
With Money in the Bank, I mean, you know, is someone like a Damian Sandow winning it and having all the ridiculousness happen with it, and then, you know, losing to cashing it in and losing to Cena, who is also the only other person to have lost the Money in the Bank challenge, although nobody will ever remember that because of Sandow's failure. But you really are just taking Money in the Bank and taking the briefcase and just chucking it into the crap hole.
Well,
if you're going to do
something
like
this. None of
this
is
going to
happen.
Well, I know that.
It's just
but
a wacky idea. Really,
Lord.
Brock Lesnar has to join the New Day in exchange for a shot at the briefcases?
No,
preposterous.
But I think there's people that have actually convinced themselves of how entertaining and great it would be if Kofi won. And it's like, you know, they don't need it. They don't need it to be entertaining. I'm sorry.
What are you talking
about? I think
there's
people that actually want to believe this.
Well, yeah, they want to come up with something entertaining because they're not entertained by the product right now.
I hope Filthy calls in, because maybe he's got a scenario for Kane that can trump these people with Kofi.
Yeah, it's called Kane wins and then wins the belt. That's it. That's his whole scenario.
So maybe he's figured out more with it in the past 24 hours.
Who's going to win Ryback versus The Big Show?
Obviously, the Ryback. And I would assume that this thing is going to end with a shell shock, which... They already gave away, didn't they?
They did. They gave it away on Raw. I don't even know what's going on.
Stupid. But that's how I would say he wins, because if Big Show wins, I mean, then what do you do?
John in Arkansas, who called the wrong line, has tweeted and said, "Sorry, had click me off line, damn rain, started in on me, grr." I don't even know what that means. John.
It means he is ready for Money in the Bank tonight.
John, just call the correct number, 425-482-1686. That's your phone number. Strictly for John in Arkansas. It's the John in Arkansas line. So call it, and then we'll get you on the air. I don't know what the rain has to do with anything.
And you always blame it on the rain.
Yeah, John's just got one. Remember, he dropped the glass. He overcooked his food. He almost set the kitchen on fire. Now, it sounds like his roof is leaking. It's just been rough out there in Arkansas for poor John.
Oh, I'm proud of you for actually enunciating rough and roof correctly.
Well, I never used to say roof. I used to say roof, because that's how we say it around here in Washington. Mm. But everybody made fun of me so much that I began mocking them by saying roof. And the next thing you know, I can't help but say roof.
I got nothing for it.
I'm just reading the Twitter here. Jilly Bean here says, "I watched the Kimbo Slice Ken Shamrock countdown special. Felt so forced, like a bad late night infomercial." Oh man, that's not good.
You know what was great though, and this isn't just because he's going to be on, but Jim Ross had Kimbo Slice and Jim Cornette on his last podcast, and you know Jim Cornette is always great anyway. But I mean, really, I thought a really fun interview with Kimbo talking about that fight coming up with Shamrock.
I think we've got John on the John in Arkansas line. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It is me, and actually what was going on is about the time I called in, I hit the wrong button because I was going to call the East number, and then the rain started to kick in on me while I'm trying to call in.
Where are you that it's raining on you?
Don't let Brian number shame you, by the way.
I was outside, and I actually had to run in quickly, grab all my electronic gadgets that I had on my deck out there.
What are you doing on your deck?
Bong it.
Listening to your fine radio program.
I see. I see. Okay. It sounded like you were building like a machine of some sort out there that...
an arc to get ready for the rain.
Yeah. An electric arc. Anyway, John, what's on your mind?
I could have used one. I certainly hope that we get this Kofi thing because it would be actually entertaining to see the New Day trot out there with their little briefcase and fight amongst themselves as to who was going to cash in and then just have Brock annihilate them later. That would be outstanding.
Well, I do agree. I hate to say it, but we got to go after all that. Back in a moment with Jim Ross, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very quickly here, Will says, not only did they give away Ryback's shell shock on Raw, they just showed him doing it on the pre-show as well. We're joined now by good old JR. Jim Ross is here on the line. Jim, how you doing today?
I just shell shocked a chicken breast. Does that count?
That's pretty good. Are you shell-shocked to learn that you were once destitute and selling tapes to our listeners?
Well, I heard that. As I mentioned to you off the air, I was listening to you and Mike on my iPad, as I do quite often. And years ago, between stints in WWE, to kind of keep in touch with everybody, give me something to do, make a couple extra bucks, I did... Fans would send me questions, and I would do a little. You had a little tape recorder, and I would put a cassette in and answer their questions. So I guess that guy was one of my questioners.
That's right,
and a customer. And I think he asked me about the hat gimmick. And all I can say is sometimes our egos get in the way of our financial planning. And I, at the beginning of the hat thing. Jerry Jarrett's idea to Vince was for me to dress like Porter Wagner with, with outrageous Ernest Tubb-looking coach with wagon wheels and cowboys and Native Americans, so forth and so on. And I thought that was a little too far. And so we settled on the Larry Hagman look. Nice suit, as a rule, and a hat. So I was cool with that. So it was just silliness. But I wasn't destitute. I wasn't hard up for money. I was working for the Falcons, and I was working doing talk radio. So and my wife was working. So we were doing okay.
My question is, if you could have done the Porter Wagner hairstyle, if they'd have asked.
No, probably not. I guess I could have. With enough hairspray, you can make anything pretty much work. But,
it's an amazing pompadour.
I would hope they would have gave you a dolly, too, then, in that case.
You think? You're becoming more leading my way now. I'm liking the idea better with the Dolly Parton sidekick.
Now, we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Obviously, we'll get into your podcast, which I will be appearing on this coming week. Podcast 1, we'll be talking Money in the Bank. Going to be recording that tomorrow, Podcast 1. But, obviously, the big news this week is the passing of the American dream, Dusty Rhodes. So many people talking Dusty Rhodes memories. I'm sure you've got your fair share. Thoughts on his passing?
Well, I was shocked. This whole week was really a strange week. I was in Asheville, North Carolina, doing some work on this charity that I'm the national chairman of called Headlock on Hunger, headlockonhunger.net. But in any event, while I was there, a WWE producer came down because that's where Edge, Adam Copeland, and Beth Phoenix live. So there's three of us were there. So he got all three of us that day to talk about the Owen Hart DVD. And I had just been asked the question, what does May 23rd, 1999 mean to you? And my phone, I had my phone on vibrate. It started going crazy. It's like it was obsessed. It never stopped buzzing. It was like a call after call after call. And finally, the guy, the cameraman, says, is that your phone buzzing or is that ours? Or is something going on? And I said, no, it's my phone. And they just asked me what May 23rd, 1999 meant to me. And I said, let me excuse myself for a second. And I walked down the hall. I went to the men's room. And because I kind of needed to figure out how I was going to answer this question, because I knew what May 23rd, 1999 was, the day Owen Hart died. So I got to address it. And so I looked at my phone, and I got all these text messages, and I don't have any voicemails that Dusty had passed. So I go back in there to finish the interview, and I tell those guys, I said, well, I just got to, you guys may not know this. I guess you don't, that Dusty just died. So now I got to answer the Owen Hart question, and I got Dusty on my mind, and it's a very interesting afternoon for my mind. It's just for me to process. So, my memories of Dusty are endless. You know, he was I got to know Dusty through Cowboy Bill Watts, and Dusty would come into the Mid-South on some of the big shows, like Superdomes and things. Had a great time with him. We had a lot in common, both football fans, sports fans. Both ate fried food. They had that Texas thing, had the Oklahoma thing going. That brought us together, believe it or not. And so I had a great time with him. And so, I told somebody, I said, look, we all knew that he was not well. No matter what he was telling everybody, he's fine. Jerry Briscoe saw him last week at one of the tryouts down at the Performance Center, and he asked him point blank to his face if he was all right, and Dusty said, absolutely, I'm going to be around a long time. This was like last Thursday. And they even took a picture together. It was Dusty's idea. He said, we had a picture take a long time. Let's take a selfie. And two old guys like us taking a selfie. So they took a selfie. But I kind of equated to the, for those that understand my love of John Wayne, John Wayne's last movie role was called The Shootist. He played a terminally ill gunfighter who had cancer, and he wanted to go out on his own terms, and he knew, and he went out on his birthday. And so he went and had this gunfight, and of course it ends up, he dies, John Wayne died at the end of the movie. And Dusty Rhodes died on the same day John Wayne died.
That's right.
And I mentioned that on a tweet the other day it was ironic. It was just too ironic because he was kind of that John Wayne figure. You know, he was just bigger than life, and he came from nothing, and his dad was a non-union plumber. And, you know, Dusty was a great athlete in high school, believe it or not. And even a better baseball player than he was a wrestler or a football player. So he went to a lot of colleges, but not to class a lot, and played football and baseball at a lot of schools, small schools in Texas, until he finally ended up at West Texas State and got the wrestling bug. But he and Murdoch and all those guys that hung around Dory Funk Sr.'s Boys Ranch and the Wednesday Night Wrestling and so forth, so... he was just one of my guys. I mean, we talked almost every week. His birthday is October 12th, and my anniversary is October 12th. October 12th is generally the second Saturday or that weekend in October when Oklahoma plays Texas. So many October 12th, he got a happy birthday greeting on the phone before my wife got a happy anniversary in person because she would sleep in. I'd get up. It was game day. I was excited. And Dusty would get his phone call. And we'd end up being very talking about the game and cussing each other. We've cursed each other so much, and that one day somebody from Stanford said, "You guys have got to take this game too seriously." And we both turned on them, like this is our argument, and we are having fun, and we're not meaning anything we're saying, but this is our way of expressing ourselves. It's two old rednecks talking about the game. So I had a very special relationship with him, and. You know, I did the Dr. Death, Big Boss Man, USC title change. that he thought was a clinic. So he told David Crockett and Tony Schiavone, which did not endear me to them. And then he got me on TBS, which was a big break for me. And then he had Schiavone and I, two play-by-play guys, do the first Clash of the Champions. That was Dusty's call. So he loved my work, and I loved him. And we actually had some pretty good broadcast together. He doesn't get enough credit for that, but he'd make up words. He was funny.
I like Dusty on commentary.
Yeah, he was irreverent, and but he had good timing. And because he did the booking, he knew what to get in, what not to get in, where to go, where not to go. And he had great instincts, and he had such a respect for Cowboy, and I was Cowboy's pupil, that we kind of had the same background. We had a lot of the same philosophies. So it was just, I just have so many great memories of him, you know. It's just, they're endless. And as this filibuster I'm on, but nonetheless, it bothers me when people talk about some of his booking. There's not any booker I've ever seen or ever worked for that didn't have some bad booking. It's human nature. It's not, every Beatles song was not the greatest, was it? Let It Be. You know, come on. But overall, his track record of booking and performing and getting over and selling tickets was pretty phenomenal for a guy that didn't have a bodybuilder's physique. But he could damn sure talk people into the seats. And there's not a lot of guys in today's business who can say they can do that.
We're going to be, we're heading up against a break right here. Can you stick around for a little while after this break?
I can, and I will.
All right. I wanted to mention before we head to the break, by the way, that when you mentioned Dusty on commentary, I always got a kick out of Dusty on commentary. And another guy that I know some people didn't think was very good at commentary, but I always thought wasn't as bad as people thought, was Vince. And it was for the very same reason that Vince was not the greatest announcer of all time, but he was the dude in charge. And so if you wanted a guy out there who was going to explain to you why things were happening and how they tied in the storylines, I mean, he ended up doing a very good job bringing everything together and tying it all together. And obviously his voice is still in people's headsets today, as I'm sure that you could talk quite a bit about. But we can get into that a little bit after the break. Back in a moment with more. Jim Ross here, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. All the information on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Very happy today to be joined by Jim Ross yet for another segment here. We've been talking the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Passed away June 11th, same day as John Wayne. And Mike, I know you had a question for Jim.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, people having their memories of Dusty Rhodes, and there's so much of Crockett that's up on YouTube and the Georgia stuff with Ole Anderson and Florida with Kevin Sullivan and all that stuff. But JR, can you talk a little bit about the relationship that Dusty had, the longtime friendship with Bill Watts, and how important he was to those early Superdome shows, because he was all over them and in big spots?
Yeah, Dusty, Dusty came in with Andre one time, and they left as the Mid-South Tag Team Champions. And nobody thought that that was even feasible. But that was Bill Watts' booking. The deal was that, they'll work a DQ or a count out or something, but you're not going to beat your incumbents, or you're not going to put the title in somebody that didn't work the territory. Which makes me, it's kind of like that Brock Lesnar scenario. But nonetheless, that was and is, but he was key because Dusty was such a star off TBS, and he would go on TBS and promote the Superdome, and it made it even bigger. It made it a national event. So Dusty was very pivotal in that scenario, and much like Bill was pivotal, Bill was the booker when Dusty turned babyface in Florida against Pak Song Nam and Gary Hart. So they go back for years. They used to go to the OU Texas football game together, and whoever's team lost, that guy would invariably get into a fight on the fairgrounds at the Texas State Fair. if OU lost, Cowboys were knocking somebody out because they were both drunk, drinking beer in a stadium. If the Longhorns lost, Dusty's going to nail somebody. But they had a real unique brotherhood, without question, and they were pivotal in each other, the success of each other, on different levels, different ways. But Bill will tell anybody that nobody had the charisma. Just the natural it factor could connect to the audience better than Dusty Rhodes. I never have seen anybody that could do it better. Connect to the audience and have the it factor better than the dream.
You know, Dusty was working at the Performance Center, I think Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, pretty much nonstop in recent years. And he was doing, I think they called it like Art of Communication or something like that. Essentially, it was the Dusty Rhodes promo class,
right?
Which, the more I think about it, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan in any way, and you went to college and you had the option of Art of Communication or Dusty Rhodes promo class, one, to me, is a much better name than the other, but essentially it was Dusty teaching promo classes. But it is interesting that you've got Dusty Rhodes teaching these young kids how to do promos, but it's a different wrestling business now, and it just kind of seemed almost like a disconnect to me in the sense that nobody's going out there nowadays. Maybe a couple of the top stars can go out there like a John Cena and kind of wing it if need be, but there's a lot of scripts being handed out. There are a lot of very short backstage interview segments where you do a bunch of pre-tapes or whatever. Just a very different business, and it always kind of seemed to me like there's a disconnect here, that you've got this all-time great teaching people how to do promos that they're probably not going to cut when they move to the main roster.
Well, I don't think it was a disconnect at all, because I sat through a lot of those classes, and it was a matter of kids getting to young people being encouraged to find their voice, to find their timing, to find their confidence, to develop confidence in being able to interpret material. He'd get two guys up there and say, okay, he'll give them a scenario, and the scenario would be something outlandish and maybe crazy or funny or whatever the case may be. And they had to come up with a 2-minute bit. And then he would let people think of their own skits to do. And so he'd pair them off into different groupings. And then they'd come back for the class the next day, and they would, do their skit. And so I really thought it was really good for them to be around Dusty, because it wasn't that he was teaching them how to cut a promo as a midnight rider. He was teaching them to have confidence in any scenario that they were in and find their voice and develop their confidence so that they could take material that might not be theirs and make it theirs. And then he was taking a subject and make that subject their material. So I thought it worked out really well. I can see where one could think, if you'd never gone through the class or saw the class or audited the class, how you could say a disconnect, which is understandable, but I've been to too many of them, and it was invaluable, quite frankly, invaluable.
There are some guys like Dean Ambrose is a good example, where I mean you could give him anything, he's going to make it work, and there are a few guys like that in WWE, but it does seem like there are a fair number of people that, I don't know, they've gone through the class, but they haven't quite found that ability yet.
Well, everybody's not going to have the ability. Everybody doesn't have it. That's the thing about it. Everybody, the great talkers are not, you can look back at some of the territory rosters, and there's still, even those great territories, you know, I'm working on this Mid-Atlantic Memories documentary film that's going to come out, and there are some amazing workers on that documentary, but there's not a plethora of amazing talkers. If you want to talk about the Rock and Roll Express, you can certainly put them in a conversation with any great babyface team, but were they great babyface talkers? No, absolutely not. So that's the deal, is that no matter who's teaching what, you've got it and the ability to communicate, or you don't. And what Dusty did was try to show them the art of communication, the various ways that they could communicate, and develop the confidence in their voice, and not try to be somebody else, try to be an extension of yourself, which I think we all would agree that the greatest wrestlers are extensions of their own natural personality.
Got Dusty Rhodes clips airing right now on the WWE Network. They're going to be airing throughout the show here tonight. And tomorrow after Raw, there is going to be a Dusty Rhodes special immediately after Raw, an hour long. So you can check that out. And for those of you that are not following the pre-show, Wade Barrett loses again to R-Truth in the dark match for the Money in the Bank show. And Jim, moving on to Money in the Bank, what are your thoughts on this show here tonight?
I'm kind of looking forward to it because I can't figure out the booking is unpredictable, which I think is a good thing more often than not. I think to be unpredictable just for the hell of it is not the smartest thing in the world. Unpredictability is good if you're making still making the right decisions. I'm having a hard time thinking of, you know, I think Rollins is going to retain. Rollins is not ready to turn to be a baby face, in my view. Will he be a good baby face someday? Well, of course he will. He's a booker's dream. He's a heel champion that cheats to win, and he's beatable on any given night. He's not an overpowering physical presence. But I think that he will retain tonight. Certainly you can look at it a different way. Well, Ambrose wins earlier tonight. Rollins has won the Money in the Bank, and Roman Reigns comes in and wins the WWE title. That might be being too aggressive. I still want to see Rollins and Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I want to see Brock Lesnar have to go to Royal Rumble and win it and then go to WrestleMania to wrestle the champion. And if he doesn't win it, he's done or whatever, some kind of stipulation to make add that sense of urgency to it. But I'm looking forward to the show a little bit. I think that Reigns is going to win the Money in the Bank, but you know, and maybe it goes another way. I don't know. Who knows? It seems like Reigns has been positioned to win it, but I don't know if that's the case. So that's what's going to happen.
I'm glad you brought up Brock, because you'd be a good person to ask about this. The Paul Heyman, Steve Austin podcast certainly led one to believe that Brock and Steve Austin were going to be wrestling at Mania next year, but it's now looking like they're attempting to distance themselves from that. And Steve Austin went on his podcast and pretty much tried to take down everybody's expectations, pretty much said that he doesn't expect to do it. I know that I think you said 35% chance was the exact percentage you used, I believe.
Yeah.
What do you make of this?
Probably high.
Probably high?
Yeah. It is not going to happen. I mean, I don't know if those guys wouldn't have business. If Paul wouldn't have business for himself, if they were just having fun. You know, honestly, goodness, I don't know. But Steve is so busy, and I just don't think that he is... You know, you always have the itch, but I think the ship has sailed. I just don't think that Austin's going to get back in the ring. And he says, as he says all the time, all the stars have to align, and he wants to be involved in the creative if that happens. He's got to spend a lot of time on the product, and he has so many commitments. He's right now, he's called me today, called me earlier today about going back out to the set to do another week of hard, long days of Book of Skull Challenge. There's on CMT, another season. So he's got all the things going. He's a spokesman now for Kawasaki, the mule, the four-wheel, the utility vehicle. And he's got more things coming, more things in the pipeline. And so he's busy. And he's not going to do it half-assed. He's not going to get in there and not be in shape. And he's going to stay in shape and he wants to be involved in the creative, and it's going to take a lot of time. It's a great match. But right, I think that they once it was said and it got out there and everybody got their hopes up, I think it kind of worked in reverse order. It's like, now we got to give them the match. No, you don't, but you need to distance yourself from it as fast as you can. I would be totally shocked if that match ever happened. I would be even more shocked if Steve ever had another wrestling match, quite frankly.
Well, I mean, if he says the stars have got to align, if he doesn't do this show, I mean, if ever there was a show where the stars are aligning, it's Texas Stadium, WrestleMania 32, biggest show of all time, his backyard. I mean, if he doesn't do that, I can't imagine him ever wrestling again.
Me neither. And stars aligning, meaning the creative going into it, the money, his compensation. You know, how does he balance his schedule as far as being on Raw and doing their and taking and doing their business? Everything. It's just, I just don't see it being feasible right now. I think that ship has sailed. And you know, and then somebody sent me a tweet today. Well, what about Austin and Hogan? There's even less chance that'll ever happen.
That's not happening.
That ain't happening either. So if Austin had a match, he'd want to have a knockdown, drag-out, slobber knocker of a match with a very aggressive brawler. And that would be Brock Lesnar. And I just don't think it's going to happen. And I can't tell you why they went there in that interview. It was very compelling content. I enjoyed it. You got everybody thinking and talking, but man, you sure don't throw things out there like that casually if you're not going to deliver or have a good chance of delivering. Let's just made a boo-boo, and maybe it was just a human error or somebody had second thoughts. Heck, I don't know what happened. I just don't think the match is ever going to happen. When I heard them talk about it, I said, well, maybe they've got a deal. But I don't think so.
Well, listen, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a minute to wrap this up, everybody. Make sure you check out JR'sBarbecue.com, Jim Ross's Ross Report podcast on Podcast One. I'm going to be appearing this week, June 16th, talking Money in the Bank. We're talking all of this. We'll be back in just a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here with the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Want to thank good old JR. You can head up to JR'sBarbecue.com, or you can go on Twitter at JR'sBBQ, or just type Jim Ross into Google, and everything you could possibly want is up there. Of course, the Jim Ross latest podcast, The Ross Report, available on his website. It is available on Podcast One. A lot of big guests coming up. I will be on the show on June 16th. Tori Wilson on the 23rd. Mike Tenay on the 30th and July 7th. And Michael Elgin is going on July 14th. You can check those out at his website as well as Podcast One. And as noted, we are here every single day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. So tomorrow, we're going to be back with a brand new show Monday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. We also have replays every day at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And a Monday morning replay at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. I will be back later tonight with two brand new shows only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. Brian and Vinny's show talking Money in the Bank. And then later on, Dave Meltzer and I will be running down the pay-per-view as well as talking all of the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts and taking your mailbag questions, mailbag at WrestlingObserver.com. All of these bonus shows, I did the math, I have been doing 18 radio shows a week, all of these available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, plus every show we have done dating back to 2005, 7,000 radio shows available in the archives for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So go up there and sign up, you will not regret it. If you like this show, you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. Want to thank Mike, all the folks at Sports Byline USA, all of you listeners and callers. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, enjoy the pay-per-view. We'll talk to you later on tonight. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.